Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, we ask that you just open up each one of our hearts and our minds, that we may be excited to be in your presence today, that we may not take this gift lightly, but we may use it to bring you glory. Father, this is not about glorifying ourselves. This is about glorifying you. Father, we thank you for the offerings that you provide for us. Father, may we use them wisely. May we use them in ways that lifts you up and shows your light so bright inside of our community. We pray for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior.
So I wanted to talk to you this morning. This is the time where we talk about my three, I think it is. And so Tim will let me do this today, this morning. So anyway, I was thinking about this. You know, there's a saying, I think it's by a famous basketball coach from a long time ago. But his speech was simply saying this: don't ever, 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 ever give up. And that's how we should be treating our prayer life. You know, there might be someone that you've been praying for 30 years, and they might not know who the Lord is yet. I say yet. You know, maybe you have a coworker that you've been speaking into. Maybe you have a family member that you've been speaking into. Maybe You have a neighbor. I know I shared this a while ago, but simply living a lifestyle that points to Christ is enough. Sometimes. We had a neighbor that we lived next to for a number of years. We didn't preach to them. We didn't talk to them. We got a phone call, you know, 8 years later. Hey, what's that church you go to? We didn't preach. We didn't talk. We just prayed. And then we get the phone call. Hey, what's that church? And now they go to that church that we attended up north. So it is possible. It is possible with everything God can break through any barrier, any wall that is put up. God can break through that. So don't ever, 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 ever give up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just say thank you that we can come before you this morning and we can lift up anyone that we're praying for because prayer is very, very powerful. So let us remember that you can break down all the barriers. You can break down all the things that might hold a person back from knowing you. So, Father, we just lift all those people up that we've been praying for all these years, and we give it up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship. amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
My chains are gone.
Unending love, amazing grace.
Oh, Father, we just say thank you for your amazing grace, your amazing love. Father, we just lay it all down before you. whatever that might be holding us back from you, Father. Take those chains away. Whatever we're fighting through, take those chains away, Father. It is in your love, your grace, your mercy that we rest. So, Father, we just thank you for your amazing grace. Amen and amen. You guys can be seated.
Amen. Isn't God just good? Good morning. At this particular moment, I want to take some time, and if you're between the ages of 3 and 3rd grade, this is a great opportunity to dismiss and head off to junior church, where we've got something just for you guys. It'll be a great time. So, I'm thankful for each of you here this morning. I want to welcome everybody. I'm glad that you guys could make it. And I also want to take a moment to welcome our guests and those joining us online on the radio. We're so glad that you could be with us, and we're blessed to have you. You know, it's hard to believe it's a new year already. But here we are. Ready or not, it's a new year. And I'm excited to see what God is doing inside of our community, inside of the church, and outside of these walls. To see how God is going to work through each one of you. But before we dive into the message this morning, let's start by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. And Lord, we thank you for each person here. We thank you for their hearts and minds. Father, I know that we all walk in with heavy hearts. We all walk in with things that we're dealing with and struggling with. But Lord, may we just lay it at your feet. May we sit back and hear what you have for us today. Father, I pray that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not mine. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. But Father, also open up our hearts that we may hear what you have for each one of us inside of this message. I pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, this morning, we are going back to the Life of Christ series. I know it's been a little while since we were in it, but especially coming out of Christmas, it's great to be back in it. Remembering that we're not just celebrating the fact that a little baby came, but he grew in and he was our Savior. And he came to live a life in such a way that set an example for each one of us. That's the entire point of the Life of Christ series. That's why we've been going through it since the beginning of last year. This has been a long series for those of you who are new to us. We learned to answer that age-old question, and what we're looking to do is try to answer it. Do you guys remember the little bracelets, WWJD? What would Jesus do? So that's a question that many a times we ask, so that's why we're doing it. We're taking a look at the life of Jesus itself. And the last time we were in this series, we were over in Matthew chapter 12, where we saw Jesus pushing back against the Pharisees, where he saw him pushing back against the establishment of the day. And in this particular case, Matthew chapter 12, there was a demon-possessed man who was both blind and mute. And when Jesus came into his life, everything changed. He was healed. For the first time, he could see. I'm sorry, not see, but he could hear and he could speak and he could see. Yeah, wow. Trust myself on that, sorry. And crowds were astonished at everything they saw. The crowds around Jesus, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. Here he was, and they started asking the question, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the one from the line of David? But the Pharisees, on the other hand, they didn't like Jesus. And when they saw this, they claimed that Jesus was doing all of this through the power of the devil instead of through God. And they would tell anyone that was willing to listen. You see, they were speaking out against Jesus. They were speaking out against the work of the Holy Spirit. And they refused to believe what they saw happening right in front of them. And as Jesus rebuked them for what they were doing and saying, Jesus also understood where their heart is. He reminded them that all sins are forgivable except for one. blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, that sin is one where we deny the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in others' lives. The problem with this particular sin isn't that it's just necessarily worse than everything else. It has more to do with the heart of the person is the unwillingness to seek forgiveness for our sins. The unwillingness to allow the Holy Spirit to transform their lives from the inside out. Remember, the Holy Spirit's the one that convicts us. He's the one that shows us what needs to be redone. And he regenerates us. And when we deny him, he's no longer within us. And we're pushing him away from being able to renew us from the inside out. Remember, Jesus called the Holy Spirit our helper. And he's been sent for that way. And he was promised by Jesus himself. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we bear good fruits in our lives. Which brings us right into the passage for this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 12 again for anybody who wants to follow along. We're going to be in verses 33 through 37. The title this morning is Our Words Matter. And I don't think we often give it much thought on how our words matter. I don't think we often think about the dangers that our words can present. Instead, we often look at them as simply that, words. You know, we have this innate ability to spot danger often in the world around us. Think about it. If I asked you to go jump out of an airplane with no parachute on, how many of you would take that up? There's always one. Mind you, we're 20,000 feet in the air too. Let's make sure we clarify that. But most people wouldn't because we spot the danger inside of that moment. You know, we've been able to spot danger since we were young children. And I mean, just think back to your playground days. When it was recess time and you were released to go outside and it was a hot day, what was the first thing you did not run to? The big metal slide. Because you understood the danger of that slide. Now, for those of you who are younger and you don't know this, they weren't plastic when I was a kid or when your parents were. Those things were metal, and they burned you on a hot day. You just stayed away from it. In the same way that you wouldn't go to the merry-go-round right after lunch, because odds are you no longer had lunch inside of you at the end of it. Or on the teeter-totter. You wouldn't partner up with someone who is twice your size. Because next thing you know, you're flying 5 feet in the air, not knowing what happened. What I'm getting at is we recognize danger. We understand risk. We often notice this quickly. But yet with our words, we often don't give it a second thought. We don't think about the consequences of the things that we're saying. We look at them simply as words. No power, no meaning. You know, some of this mindset that we have to deal with goes back to the playground days again. You know, yes, there was dangerous equipment, but there was other dangers that we faced on the playground. You know, we had the playground bullies, the ones that knew all the snappy comebacks and the ones who came after your lunch money. And they often had some of the meanest things to say. And of course, we had just the same snappy comebacks for each one of them. You know, if someone said an insulting thing to you or something on the playground, what was the first thing you could go to? I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. You know, that was the snappy comeback of my day. I don't know what yours was, but that was our playground. And of course, if somebody went off and they said something to a teacher or a parent or something like that, what was that age-old saying that I know almost everybody here has probably heard at least one point in their life? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. So we learn from a young age that we downplay the power of words. That they don't have any real meaning or any real power. Yet we know that's not true. Words have extreme power. They have the ability to build others up. They have the ability to encourage others. Think back on a bad day that you had. Think back on that particular bad day when someone comes up and says something nice, something completely out of the blue that you never expected. What happens? Your entire attitude, your outlook of the day, it shifts, it changes for the rest of the day. It lifts you up. Now, on the same hand, think about having a great day and someone comes along and starts speaking negatively to you. Talks about all the bad stuff that is happening in their life, all the bad things that are going on around them. We all know people like that, that on a good day, you almost want to avoid them because you know it ain't going to be a good day at the end of that conversation. It brings you down. You no longer have that positive outlook. Our words have power, and they have meaning. They're not just words. They can affect the way someone looks at life around them. It can affect the way that we view others and the way that we view our own selves. Our words have the ability to be used for good, and they have the ability to be used for evil. The Bible actually teaches us that we are going to be judged for every careless word that we speak. That we are called to speak life into the world around us and not tear others down. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 19, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Why would God say we should be slow to speak if our words didn't matter? If they didn't have an ability to affect others and ourselves, why would God encourage us to be slow to speak? It's because he knows the power of the tongue. It teaches us in Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Our tongue has the ability to give life and to destroy it. Our words matter. We have the ability to speak positively with our kids, and we have the ability to make them feel that big. Our words matter. Jesus himself addressed this in our text this morning, and I want to read through the entirety of it, and then we will break it down. It starts off in verse 33, where it says, "Either make the tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is known by its fruit." Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil person produces evil from things from his storeroom of evil. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus is taking the time in this passage to confront the hypocrisy of the Pharisees at that time, pointing out that their own words will be their worst enemy. That those very words will be used to testify against them when they stand in front of God. And each one of us will one day have to stand in front of God. And just like they'll be used to testify against us, they can also be testified for us. You know, we all have this ability to put on a front or an act for an hour a week. We can walk into a church, put on our good Christian hat, you know, put on our good Christian clothes, shake hands with some people around us, and make ourselves look good, right? We have this ability. We can do it. We can be having the most off day. We can be doing all that. We can walk into the church and make us look good. But the question comes out, what happens when we leave these walls? What happens when we enter the rest of the world? This is the challenge that we all have to face and answer. Because those are often where the words are spoken that either give life or take it away. I remember a story of a person that I used to work with. Someone who claimed to be a Christian. They were someone who tried to pass themselves as a Christian. They would often go to church with grandma, you know, to keep grandma happy, to make the appearance of being a godly person. And they even got to the point that they were serving on their church board, and they were a young person. And the church was ecstatic for them. And I worked with them throughout the day. And then one day at work, I was having a conversation with somebody else who wasn't necessarily a believer, that didn't have this relationship with God. And it was a cordial conversation. We were having fun and just kind of going back and forth. There was no arguing, just a simple conversation. And then my coworker jumped in. She jumped in, and my coworker's faith came out. You see, she so wanted to be accepted by the world around her that she joined into this conversation. And because she didn't like being on the outside when the other one was speaking negatively about God, without even thinking about it, without even realizing it, she allowed the words to just flow out of her mouth, and she denied Christ inside of that very moment. She was not the example that we're called to be. You see, for my coworker, it was about religion. She went to church to make grandma happy. They went to church to make herself look better to the world around her. But it was clear at the end of that conversation, she had no real relationship with Jesus. This was from within inside of her, came flowing out so naturally. Oh, she could do the act for an hour a week. But when she was out in the real world, she no longer represented God. This is what Jesus was dealing with when it came to the Pharisees. They were very religious people, but they had no real understanding of who God was. They knew the scripture, but they didn't know the author. Their life did not bear good fruit. Now, if we look over at verse 33 this morning, it states, "Either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is known by its fruit." Have you ever grabbed an apple that looked really good, yet when you cut it in half, it was rotten in its core? Or have you ever seen a tree that looked great on the outside, yet it was dead on the inside? I've cut a few down like that. That they were hollowed out. This is the picture that Jesus is painting inside of this passage. You know, we can look great on the outside. We can look like a great Christians. People that exemplify who God is at first glance. You know, there's people who get all dressed up for church. Our hair is done well. Everything's put together well. We just fit that mold of what people think of when we say that we're a Christian and we're going to church. We look like good church people. Yet we can bear no good fruit. Everything we do turns out rotten because inside, we're rotten at the core. Oh, we can put that outside facade on, but that doesn't cover up what's inside. That's what was going on with my friend and coworker. They understood how to talk the Christian language. They understood Christianese. They understood how to get along with Christians and look good for that hour a week. But in the reality of it, they produced no good fruit. There was no godliness about them. This was the same problem Jesus kept running into with the Pharisees over and over again. See, they knew the word of God, but they offered no hope that was found inside the word of God. They didn't build people up. They tore them down. They used their position of power to make themselves look better. They used their position to build themselves up, to serve, to be served, not to serve. And Jesus says that for those who want to be first, we must be last. We are called to be servants. Jesus continued in verse 34, and he said, "Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart." Jesus got very blunt at this moment. He called them out exactly what he thought. He called them a brood of vipers. Now, if you don't know what a viper is, it's an extremely poisonous and toxic snake. It's one that if it bites you, pretty much guaranteed to die. And Jesus called them a brood of vipers, a group of these poisonous snakes. He's saying they're toxic and poisonous. That they look at themselves as these extra holy people when in reality, they're killing people by leading them astray and away from what God actually has for them. They believe they're saying all these good things when in reality, they're speaking evil. And they're placing such a heavy burden on the people that they're actually keeping them from the freedom that can be found through Christ. We have to remember at this time, there's over 600 rabbinical laws that they would have had to follow. inside of that moment. If I gave you a list when you walked in and I said, here's 600 some laws I need you to keep track of this week. You do one of them, you're in trouble. Some of them were hand washing. What would happen? Could you do it? The burden would be too great. These were things that they expected of the people, yet they themselves didn't follow it. These were things that they expected of the people, but yea, they themselves couldn't keep up with it. Oh, they could keep up with the outside appearance, but they couldn't take care of the heart. And so they used their words to throw people out, creating outcasts. They made a good show of everything. They really did. And Jesus could see their heart. He could see their motives for everything they did. He knew they were not doing this out of love for people. They were not doing it out of love for God or to point people to God. The same thing with my friend. She was not doing that. She wasn't going to church and all that out of a love for God. She was doing it to make herself look better. Just as the Pharisees were doing everything they were doing for their own selfish reason, to make themselves look good to man. And God knows our heart. He knows why you do the things you do. He knows when you put on a show. Even when the world doesn't, God does. You know, it's easy for us to put on that show for that hour, right? It's easy for us to put on our clothes. It's easy for us to walk inside of the church and to have this act on it, and where the world can't see it. But here's the thing, you can't hide it from God. He sees it. He knows it. You know, Luke 16, 15, it tells us, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your heart. For what is highly admired by people is revolting in God's sight. You see, God is more concerned with the genuine heart of a person than what somebody looks like on the outside. He's more concerned with where your heart is and is it in tune with him than what you have on. Jesus said in verse 35, a good person produces good things from a storeroom of good. An evil person produces evil things from a storeroom of evil. That storeroom that he's talking about inside of the person, he's talking about where our heart is. He's talking about the internal person. You see, God is not concerned with what the outside of a person looks like. He doesn't care if you have the nicest Sunday clothes. He's not worried about those things. He's not concerned with the mistakes that you've made in your past. Those are the least of his concerns. He doesn't care if you look rough. He's concerned about what's inside of your heart at that moment. He's concerned with things the world can't see. Things the world never notices, because he knows from the point of where your heart is, that's where the good in you is going to flow out. He knows that if you're good on the inside, you're going to produce good things. You know, there are people that call themselves Christians that fit both of these molds, where they have a storeroom of good and they have a storeroom of evil, individually. One is a true believer and one is simply religious. Let me give you an example of what I mean. I know this guy on the outside, he looks rough. A friend of mine, an acquaintance, he looks rough on the outside. I mean, he is covered in tattoos, has them up on his neck, everything else. He spent the early years of his life in and out of prison. This is someone who's got scraggly hair, and in fact, he's someone that most people, if you were walking along with your kid, you would probably pull the kid in a little closer, because he looks rough. He does not look like what you would expect. His early years were of life were not easy. He doesn't fit the mold that we often think of when we think of Christians. But he has this genuine love of Jesus stored up inside of him. And he shares it with everyone he meets. You know, just need to talk to him for a couple of minutes and you're going to find out this man loves Jesus. Okay? Like, you're not going to be able to get out of that conversation without knowing that Jesus loves him and that Jesus loves you as well. Like, it just flows from inside of him. He produces good things, and so many people have come to Christ because of what flows out of him. Because he's constantly going and showing the love of Jesus. And I praise God for that. God has done a new thing and renewed him and filled him with this joy that just flows out of him. Now, on the same hand, I know another person. This person does not come across nearly like the first one does. They don't have a prison rap sheet. They don't have tattoos. And if they do, you can't see them. But this person is extremely religious. They're someone that at first glance would fit in well at most churches. People would be exciting and flocking over to greet this individual as soon as they walked in the door. They've got their Sunday best clothes on. They have this demeanor about them that at first just seems to fit the mold of what you would expect of your good Christian person walking into church. They know the Bible well. They can quote scripture over and over again. They call themselves a prayer warrior. And they're someone that will go out of their way to call out sin in others' lives, even when not asked. They constantly, though, here's the problem. It is good to walk alongside our brothers and sisters to encourage them. It is good to point out sin in our brothers and sisters' lives. That is what we're called to do it in a loving and edifying way, one where it helps people turn back to Jesus and not run away. But this particular person, they will go out onto the street corner and condemn people to hell without even understanding what's going on in their life. This person is out there always talking about how evil every single thing is, but giving no solution. They use scripture to tear people down instead of leading them back to Jesus. If all we ever do is use the scripture to tear people down, we are not doing a good thing. We are not doing a service that God has called us to do. And when you go to this person and you ask him, when was the last time all of your work actually led someone back to Jesus? When was the last time somebody said yes to Jesus because of everything you're doing? They can't give you an answer because they misused the scripture. Oh, they look great on the outside, but in the storeroom is straight from evil. They may look good and religious, but they have no relationship with Jesus. They simply know some verses. One of them is truly saved. One of them is not. And which one would you rather have inside the church? The one that looks good on the outside or the one that produces good on the inside? This is what Jesus was saying inside of this passage. It's not about what's on the outside. It's not about our appearance. It's not about even having all these scriptures memorized. That will come in time. As we grow in Christ and as we dive into his word, those things will come through at times. Instead, it's all about where our heart is, because our heart is what's going to produce good fruit. Our heart is what's going to produce good results. Our heart is what's going to point people back to Jesus. And when we have good things inside of us, that's what's going to come out. But when we have evil things inside of us, that's what ultimately is going to come out. Even if it's disguised underneath this idea of religion, the Pharisees of Jesus' day were really good with religion. They could talk the talk, but the problem is they produce no good fruit. They produce nothing good inside of them. Jesus closed the passage out in verse 36 and 37, where he gives us a warning. He says, I tell you, and whenever Jesus starts with, I tell you, pay attention, that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. That is a warning for us all. Our words matter. What we say and how we say matters. We can speak both truth and love at the same time. And God is more concerned with where your heart is than what you look like on the outside. He's more concerned about the work that is flowing out of you and the words that are leaving your mouth than the way you dress or if you fit a mold that people have come to expect. You know, we all have this ability to put on a facade. We have this ability to put on an act for an hour or so on a Sunday. But where's our heart for the rest of the week? Is it something that's bringing glory and honor to God? Or is it something that is completely dishonoring? Is it life-giving to the world around us or tearing people down? Or are we like the Pharisees, where our words are used to just make us look bad, look good, and the others look bad? Church, we have been called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We have been called to walk out into the world around us and proclaim the good news of the gospel. And that message is for everyone. Not just people that look like us, act like us, talk like us. That message of hope from Jesus is for every single person. We're called to be an example to the world around us, to show them what it means to be a follower of Christ. If all we're doing is tearing others down, why would people want to know who that Jesus is? Jesus said, I came to give life and to give it abundantly. Are we showing the world the life that he came to give? Or are we just using scripture to tear people down? Are we letting our words be negative in the world around us? I want you this week to really think through your words when you speak and how they affect others. Are they life-giving? Or are they things that completely blow others away? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for your goodness and for your ability to provide in ways that we often don't. Lord, as we prepare to leave today, as we wrap this up, Father, may we examine our hearts. May we examine the words that leave our lips. Are they things that bring you glory? Or they push people away from you? Father, are we being the hands and feet of Jesus, not just with our actions, but with our words? Are we slow to speak, or do we often lash out in anger? Father, may we seek you. Father, if we're not walking and talking the way you want us to, may you adjust that rudder in our life today. May we look at you for our wisdom. And we thank you for the example you gave us through your son, Jesus, where he came and made a way where there was no other way. And may we point others to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I need.
song to rise.
As you guys go out this week, may you keep in mind that your words matter, that the way that we speak and the way that we engage with the world around us represents Jesus to them. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, may we be great representations this week. God bless and have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.